Welcome to the Nonviolent Jesus Podcast. I'm John, Father John Deere, and today I'm speaking with Charlene Howard, Executive Director of Pax Christi USA, the National Catholic Peace Movement. This is a project of www.beatitudecenter.org, where you can find many other podcasts and regular Zoom programs on the nonviolence of Jesus and practicing nonviolence and working for a more just, more nonviolent world. So let's begin as usual with a little prayer. So I invite everyone, wherever you are, just to take a deep breath and just to relax and recenter yourself. And together, let's enter into the presence of the God of peace who loves you infinitely, personally, wildly, and everyone everywhere. And let's welcome the nonviolent Jesus here with us. Just take a moment to ask for whatever grace we need to follow the nonviolent Jesus more faithfully and do God's will. God of peace, thank you for all the blessings of life, love, and peace that you give us. Be with us now as we reflect together on your call to follow the nonviolent Jesus and work for a more nonviolent, more just world. Bless us, inspire us, disarm us, strengthen us, and send us out to do your will, to do our part to help end poverty, racism, greed, injustice, war, nuclear weapons, fascism, and environmental destruction, that we might be your holy beatitude people, your holy peacemakers, and welcome your reign of universal love, nonviolence, and peace on earth. In Jesus' name, amen. It's a great blessing to welcome today Charlene Howard, Executive Director of Pax Christi USA, which is the U.S. branch of the global Pax Christi International, which is the official Catholic peace movement. Charlene is a lifelong Catholic, a catechist, longtime teacher in the Archdiocese of Washington, D.C., Catholic schools such as Archbishop Carroll High School. Used to play them in soccer growing up in D.C., high school myself. She served as chair of Pax Christi USA's National Council for 3 years and was named Pax Christi Executive Director in 2024. She holds a master's degree in catechesis and religious education from Catholic U, is a graduate and formal faculty of the Institute for Black Catholic Studies, Imani Catechetical Program at Xavier University of Louisiana, and she and her husband Michael are the parents of 4 children and grandparents of 5. So please write down these websites for information. If you haven't already, check out PaxChristiUSA.org and also the international movement based in Brussels at PaxChristi.net. Welcome, Charlene Howard, to the Nonviolent Jesus Podcast.
Thank you, John, very much for this invitation and this opportunity to speak with you and your listeners.
Great. So tell me about your journey growing up Catholic in Washington, D.C., working at Carroll High School and so many other places, and everything that brought you to Pax Christi, this
yes.
great leadership position you have in the church.
Yes. Well, I am a fifth generation African-American Catholic from on my dad's mother's side of the family. A lot of history we were able to find out about that, and raised Catholic all my life. Went to Catholic schools of K through 8, then high school at Elizabeth Seton High School in Bladensburg, Maryland, right outside of D.C., and then on to Boston College, where I had my undergrad, was there. And when I returned to D.C., was still very involved in the church in our local parishes at that time, because that's what was modeled for me. My mom and dad, my dad in particular, was always involved with our parish. You know, the times with parish schools, you know, who went to school with you were the same people you saw on Sunday. So my dad was involved in the Knights of Columbus and also sports teams and things of that nature. So church was our life for very much of our life. And I continue that on based on his example. And so.
And what drew you to Pax Christi? When did you join and all?
Yeah, it's kind of interesting because I kind of knew about Pax Christi through a friend of mine, Donna Grimes, who had previously worked at the USCCB, first through the Campaign for Human Development, but then took Beverly Carroll's position in the Secretariat to African Americans in the USCCB. And so Donna served in that capacity for a very long time. And because I was also very interested in social justice, in that I was a social justice teacher at Archbishop Carroll, she would let me know what was going on and things that she was involved in. And Pax Christi, from time to time, with their events, she would invite me to participate in that. She became a member of the local Pax Christi Metro Baltimore, D.C. Group, and also the National Council at one time. And I didn't know all the ins and outs, but she was my best friend. So if she said go, I went.
Hey,
if she
that's
said come,
great.
I went. And so
and then you
so
became the chair.
But
yeah.
then really what got me more intimately involved is that one of my teaching colleagues had moved on to another high school, but was involved with Pax Christi Metro DC Regional Group, and knew that they wanted to continue to have a presence in, you know, someone who was working with young adults with high school students and so forth. And so she recommended my nomination to that regional group. And so just, you know, by virtue of that conversation, I went on and followed up on her suggestion and talked with Bob Cook and others who are part of that group, and became a part of the Pax Christi Metro DC Baltimore Pax Christi group. And then from there, you know, it just all kind of evolved. And Donna Grimes, again, God rest her soul, she nominated me to be on the council. And not that I had aspirations to that. I was still really, you know, getting involved with my regional group and really enjoying that. And so I was elected, and then upon election became part of the executive committee as secretary, and then was elected as chair. And so I was in the middle of my second term of that when Johnny Zukovich, the previous executive director, announced his departure, and one thing led to the other, and here we are.
Okay. Thank you so much. So, Charlene, I wanted to ask you general things about Pax Christi, and before you share, let me speak to the listeners who don't know about Pax Christi. So keep them in mind, Charlene, when you're telling.
Absolutely.
So for those who may not know, I have been an organizer with Pax Christi since 1982. All over the country and the world. And my constant thought is that every Catholic in the United States has to join Pax Christi USA. Mm. That's why I'm so excited that everyone is getting to meet Charlene. And it's weird. And those of you who are not Catholic, well, good luck listening to us talk about the Catholic Church. And by that, I mean, this is the official movement within the church.
Yes.
And I met with Pope John Paul with Pax Christi, mm-hmm. and he wept, saying every Catholic in the world should be part of Pax Christi. And mm-hmm. he was totally mm-hmm. with us, and same with Pope Francis. So,
yes.
And there's a bishop president. And so yes. I think Pax Christi, since it was founded, has changed the church around the world, but it's mm-hmm. needed more than ever. So I want, and I invite people to listen into Charlene. My question for you is, tell us about Pax Christi in the U.S. overall mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. what you're working on and where you're going. And I hope it will inspire. Also, how can people join?
So there right. you go. Right. Well, as you know, Pax Christi in the United States started in 1972. Pax Christi International, the mother, if you will, of the movement began in 1945. And so when we started, when our organization started here in the States, it was to respond to largely the militarization that was going on in the country, the draft, and also nuclear weapons, and how all of those kinds of activities really do not support the value of life. And if we believe certainly that we are all made in the image and likeness of God, that then we all have value, and we all have dignity, and killing is not supposed to be part of our way of life. It is to help everyone to flourish, to thrive, to be able to praise our God, and then be used by our God to bring about goodness in the world. And so with that impetus, the movement began and then has grown now to really respond to a myriad of issues, which at their core are violence against people. Racism certainly is that. Yes, still in terms of militarization and in terms of military spending, of course, that supports that. Still very much on the battlefield with regard to nuclear disarmament, immigration policies that, you know, just, and especially now, you know, that have really been damaging to our brothers and sisters who come from other countries in the way that they are being treated and disregarded. Again, these are issues that are violent to all of us and even the environment, because when you have war, if we go back to that, that, you know, the destruction of the grounds and the environments and people's homes and cities and what goes into the air, all of that is connected. And so Pax Christi, through its various members, because we're not just the one group of people who are in the office in Washington, D.C., but we have groups all over in various iterations throughout the United States. And in their local areas, whatever the issues are that are most prevalent and that for them and that they are most passionate about are the ones that they align themselves with, advocate on behalf of, become educated. They provide webinars and information and public actions and workshops and all kinds of whatever is at our disposal that God guides us to do that. And we do that in a framework. And I think this is really important for our listeners to understand. It's not just off the top of our head. It is not just, you know, something we just picked up. We utilize a form of theological reflection, which is prayer, study, and action, so that we can be confident that what we do in response to bringing nonviolence as a way to address some of these very serious issues, that we are in fact being informed by our God, that the Holy Spirit is in the midst of that, what we do. And so through prayer, study, and action, and even formalizing that in publications that we send out through our website, that help people see, well, what is it that we need to see about what's going on, you know, like the signs of the times, which the church certainly does that over the centuries. So we know what's really happening to people, what's really happening, what's being told to us. But then what is the church saying about that? What is scripture saying about that? What does our lived faith experience tell us? How do those things align? And then how do those things inform what we should do next?
That's so great.
How can we go forward?
That's mm-hmm. great. I'm glad you brought that up. You know, people always ask us, what can we do? And I think Pax Christi, I've always thought this, offers the best, simplest model. So what Charlene mm-hmm. is telling us, and you can say a little more about this, is that at one point, Charlene, in the 90s, I think we had 400 local groups around the country. And that means, like, you know, in so many places I lived, in Berkeley, California, you'd have 30 people meeting every other Tuesday night for 1 hour, and this great slogan was our mantra: prayer, study, and action. We did a little mm-hmm. prayer, we studied whatever issue we were working on, and we planned to do something together. And then we
yes.
And then there, I always think there should be a Pax Christi group in every parish in the country. Really, every church, every religious community in the world is supposed to be a peace group. But this yeah. is a simple tool that everyone can use, and you only need five people, and you start with prayer, study, and action. And then we can become like the base community movements in Africa and Latin America, which are going to have to as the country collapses. What do you think about that as a take? That really the strength of Pax Christi is the local groups all over the country and the world.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because, you know, the people who are being impacted are the people who know what's going on. And the more that they are engaged in what is happening directly to them, they can then share that, which is one of the benefits of having our national office. It gives us a means by which that good work that folks are doing, we can put them in touch with each other. And we can, you know, spread the knowledge, spread the expertise, and the effectiveness.
And then people aren't alone anymore. You're part
exactly
of.
Exactly right.
There are other ordinary people all across the country, in every single state, in every parish, just ordinary people praying, studying, and then vigiling together or meeting their bishop or going to do a protest. That's great.
Yes.
Thank you for keeping that alive, and I hope everyone will check out Pax Christi. Now, I remember early on, Charlene, some of the founders and all, Gordon Zahn and Eileen Egan talking about the title, and Mary Lou Kalnacki, my friend, she said, "We really have a great title." And for those who don't know, that's the old Latin for the Peace of Christ.
Yes.
Well, it is powerful. And so you hear me, this podcast is the Nonviolent Jesus. I'd like to ask you from your perspective, and especially from your seat of looking out at the whole country, about your understanding of the nonviolence and peace of Jesus and how he's calling us to be peacemakers and nonviolent, and how Pax Christi is a way to help us actually tap into and reclaim the nonviolence of Jesus, things like that.
Yes, I'm really happy to answer that because my faith is so important to me. And even being a part of Pax Christi in the short time that I have has really impacted my ability to understand what it really means to be nonviolent. I will start with saying, first and foremost, Jesus's example in the scriptures, as we come to know him through that, what he did, what he said, if you pay attention, he never harmed anything. He never harmed a human being. And regardless of whether they were the Pharisees or Sadducees or those who would, the Romans who would do him evil, or it was the people that he encountered on the road or the individuals that came seeking him and looking to find out more about him, he always regarded human beings, no matter what. So how he engaged, even when he knew there was they were out to get him, you know, or set him up, he was never violent to them. I admire that so much of Christ. I want to be that. I want to do that. So if I'm his disciple and he tells us in his word that, you know, like things similar to me, you will be able to do in my name, or I give you all authority that's been given to me under heaven to go out and to bring people to God and to bring about peace in the world, well, then that means I have to check myself first and foremost. Am I being violent in my speech? Am I being violent in my thought, in my reactions? You know, like I really got to go deep. And it is such a lovely formation, I think, to have that kind of thoughtfulness about living our faith. And Jesus, you know, I want to say I'm a follower of Christ. So there you go. So I got to go back and when I mess it up, try it again, you know, just keep trying. And I have found myself personally to be able to live with more joy, more understanding, more grace for human beings. And there's just been nothing but positive results from a personal standpoint. So then when we think about this on a broader scale, because yes, bad, evil, hurtful things happen that human beings create and perpetrate. Yes, that's a reality. I'm not living in a dream here. But even Christ walked into that. He was crucified, for God's sake. He was beaten. He was brutalized. He was talked about. All the same things. So it wasn't anything new. And yet, he persevered even on the cross to say, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. They really don't know what they're doing, you know. And to the thief, well, you're welcome this day into paradise because you get it, you know. So when we get into these, you know, how we address the issues and the people who are at the core of some of these issues, where our humanity is not shining its brightest, we have to remember, yeah, I might not like Trump. I can't stand what he's doing. We might say that. But yet there is a human soul there somewhere that we need to be praying for and yet speak truth to power. Well, what can we do to influence and to show this is misdirected? This isn't right. It's not by me going out and cussing or defaming his name or writing things that are slanderous about him. No, because that's the playbook he's using. We can't do that. You might feel like it, but we can't do that. So in our work, those of us who are doing this in very public ways, we really have to be careful and strategic and prayerful. Can't say that enough, to make sure that how we speak truth to power, when we speak truth to power, and what is our ultimate goal in establishing dialogue, relationship, and ultimate change for the good, is it being guided by the right things?
Okay.
You know, is it the right attitude? Because otherwise, it's not nonviolent. It's doing the same thing everybody else does.
Thank you so much. Well, then let me ask you more about how we can help others learn and practice Jesus's way of nonviolence. I think it's the greatest need in the churches, yes, in the whole world, and that's the greatest failure of 2,000 years of Christians. We've just completely renounced and failed Jesus on his nonviolence. So here you are, the head of the Catholic Peace Group. This is your job and mission, and it's really all of ours. So here's some of my questions about what we can do about that. How do you think we can help ordinary Catholics and all Christians here in our country learn Jesus's nonviolence? And then how can you're a lifelong catechist. How do we help others teach gospel nonviolence and the nonviolence of Jesus? How can we help promote it? And how can we help organize it? Like, our parishes should be more nonviolent. Our priests need to be more nonviolent, teaching nonviolence. Our bishops need to be teaching nonviolence. And we need groups that go out into the streets and practice nonviolence like Jesus did. So give us some more tips about what Catholics and Christians across the country, our listeners, can do. Especially in this time, you know.
Absolutely. Well, one very easy thing is to continue to read and learn. And so, you know, our website, and thank you for sharing the website for us and for Pax Christi International. You know, find out what we're doing. Sign up for webinars. Look at our resources. Utilize them. We have resources that can be used at a parish level, a personal level. There are books that we have in our store that people can purchase and do book talks and discuss these things, or make it part of a Bible study that they may be doing that help to support that. We also have a piece adjacent organizations that are on our website. You know, we make sure that we publicize your podcast and others so that people who might not know about the Nonviolent Jesus podcast, or might not know about Network, or might not know about the Franciscan Action Network or Marinol or whatever, they can see, oh, these are supporting organizations. I can find out some more ways I can help if I check them out. So it does require effort. You know, you do have to go out, read, inquire, participate, attend events as they hear about them. And again, we're a good resource for that on our website. So that's one of the things. I think that we have to learn how to trust God and in our parishes. Think about who don't we know? Who can we extend ourselves to just to say hello to them at Mass? I mean, that might sound very trite, but it really isn't, because it starts with the little things, you know? And the better you become at that, the greater you will be able to do down the road. So I think that people in their own parishes beginning to look at and examining how can we interact and cultivate relationship better with the people right here in our church? Are we excluding people intentionally or unintentionally? That's a form of violence if we do that, because we're denying their dignity. So, you know, those little things like that, how do we do that? What kind of language do we use when we, can we raise our awareness about that, you know, and take out nonviolent references that are in our speech that have become so commonplace, like I'm going to target that particular issue. Well, wait a minute. No, target is not the word you want to use, you know, and it takes a lot of discipline and a lot of awareness and intentionality to do that. And I would also say, really be serious about what you read in scripture. I mean, look for the examples in the gospels and in the letters and in the documents of the church that help us to understand what that means. I mean, just recently, in the World Day of Peace message, Pope Leo XIV talked about an unarmed and disarming peace. Read it. Listen to it. Those words were inspirational in the details that he added to that. And some of the additional documents that he referred to in that and in all of what he provides to us continue to reinforce that message of how necessary, like you were saying, John, that being peacemakers, being people of peace, it is key to our Christianity, to our Catholicism, have that at the core.
Yeah, it was beautiful the statement that came out on January 1st, 2026. Peace be with you. We are called to an unarmed and disarming peace. No pope has ever said that before. We were trying to get Francis to say something like that. And I think he's some ways gone forward with Francis, more beyond a little of Pope Francis. Pax Christi International, which you and I are part of, has been leading a way to working with the Vatican to get, we're calling for an encyclical on nonviolence and getting the Vatican to promote and teach the nonviolence of Jesus around the world. And so much has happened. Can you give us, we're really running out of time, but it's just a little update about the Catholic Nonviolence Initiative, and folks can learn more about that. We had Marie Dennis on talking about it, but at PaxChristi.net. Just a little update about the work with Pope Leo.
Well, I am not aware right now of the details of that, but I know that with the Catholic Institute for Nonviolence, which is the project that Marie is the director of. Again, there's lots of information on there on the roundtables and the various actions that they are taking to help not only be informed by what the Vatican is doing, but to inform, you know, people all over the world. And I do know that they are in constant contact with the various dicastery offices on the encyclical and other actions. It's a slow process. I mean, the church, she's slow to change, but she does. You know, God bless her.
We're working
and
on it,
so,
Charlene.
Yes, and so, you know, that is the work of Pax Christi.
Yes.
It continues. And I think Pope Leo has welcomed us very much for that. So, yes, we are definitely on the same wave.
You know, when I would go to those meetings at the Vatican, I just was shocked to see how Pax Christi is promoting all this great work and having an impact all around the world, except in the U.S., because we've moved so far to the right. I'm talking mainstream cultural U.S. and the church mainstream. So it was very encouraging is all I wanted to say, Charlene. And I hope all our listeners can, as Charlene is inviting us, check out PaxChristiUSA.org and also the global efforts at PaxChristi.net. We're really out of time, and there's so much more to talk about. So let me ask you to, you know, in whatever way you want, Is there anything else you'd like to say before we end, or any word of encouragement to our listeners to keep pursuing the peace of Christ?
Yes. As we know that in Scripture, that the story about not keeping your light under a bushel basket, and also the references to, you know, one light can dispel the darkness. That is what we are. Pax Christi is that light. And I want people to walk away with, yes, there's a lot of hard things going on in this country, but there's a lot of light too. And Pax Christi is one of the main entities bringing that light. There are good things happening. There are changes being made. And, you know, we are making an impact. So don't be fooled to think that we're not gaining ground and things are not happening for good and happening for peace in our country. It is happening. And plug into that. Find out more about that at PaxChristiUSA.org.
Well, thank you so much, Charlene Howard, for speaking with me today. And I hope everybody takes to heart her admonition to go let your light shine. And so thanks, friends, for listening to this episode of the Nonviolent Jesus Podcast. You can hear more podcasts and find other upcoming Zoom programs at www.beatitudecenter.org. You can also make a donation there to support this free work, and also sign up to receive our free e-blast, which has news about upcoming podcasts and Zooms. For example, after this will be on in mid-January, and then the following week for the Dr. King holiday, we're posting my conversation with Reverend Andrew Young, Dr. King's assistant. If you can, I'd love it if you left some positive feedback or a review at NCR or Apple or Spotify or YouTube or Substack, wherever, whatever platform you use. But mainly, please, friends, help spread the word about the Nonviolent Jesus Podcast. And may the God of peace bless everyone listening, and keep on following the Nonviolent Jesus. See you next time.